Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we come again to the book of 2 Kings chapter 4, as we come to another situation that seems completely impossible for us, and yet seeing you intervene again, may you use such things, dear Father, to grow our confidence in you, to strengthen our faith in Jesus, to help us to know our sins in Christ are forgiven, and may you encourage us to call upon you in every circumstance of life, confident that you hear us in Christ and that you will help us according to our needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, today is our third and final sermon on the topic of Mission Possible. So let me give you a quick review of what we've done so far. First, earlier in 2 Kings chapter 4, we had a situation where a widow, she was in debt, she could not pay the debt, her sons were about to be enslaved by the one to whom she owed the debt, but what did the Lord do? He worked a miracle to provide her needs so that she could pay her debt and have money even left over to live on. The Lord can do anything. And then last week, we took a look at a woman who had no son, and as we talked about, her husband was as good as dead. So the prospects of her having a child were basically zero. But what happened, though? The Lord worked a miracle, and he gave her a son. It can happen. The Lord can do anything. And then today, we see a sad situation where the miracle child that the Lord gave last week, the miracle child now dies. But what does a mother do? What does a woman do? Does she give up on the Lord? She doesn't. She continues to trust in him, believing that the Lord is even able to restore the life of the child. What I plan to do now is I want to go through today's Old Testament reading. It's a little bit of a longer reading, but I want to make a few comments along the way. I'm going to read some excerpts from the book by Adersheim as we go, and I'm hoping that you'll find it to be not only understandable, but I hope we're all encouraged today that as we see the Lord do things that are impossible, way back when, about 2,900 years ago, let us know that the Lord is still God today, and he is able to intervene in our lives in similar ways. He can do anything. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. In part one, we see the miracle child dies. Going to verse 18 of 2 Kings chapter 4, the Bible says, "The child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. 'My head, my head,' he said to his father. His father told a servant, 'Carry him to his mother.' After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died." We can only imagine what was going on in Shunem almost 2,900 years ago. But most likely there was no hospital in Shunem. Probably there was no doctor in Shunem. And even though this woman was a woman of means, she was a woman of wealth, she had no one to take her child to in order to try to get him help. So she has him on her lap until he finally dies. Can you imagine how difficult that must have been for that woman? And then think how blessed we are to have doctors and hospitals so close by. You know, here in northeastern Ohio, we have some of the best doctors and hospitals in the entire world. We are blessed. It says in verse 21, "She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God." You might recall how last week Elisha was traveling through Shunem often, and initially this woman and her husband, they offered Elisha a meal, and then they offered him regular meals anytime he went through town, and then they built him a room up on the roof so that he could have his own place with a bed, a chair, a table, a candle, and so on, so he could stop there and do his work. So now that the child has died, this miracle child who has died, the woman takes him up and lays him on the bed that they had provided for Elisha. Then it says, "She shut the door and went out. The Lord had given her a son in a miraculous way, and yet now he was dead. Going to Adersheim, he comments here, he asks a question, but why such a trial? Maybe we ask the same thing sometimes. Why do certain difficulties come into our lives? Why such a trial? Had the giver been forgotten in the gift, Adersheim writes. In other words, the woman was a woman of God. Had she gotten so focused on the child that she forgot about God who had given the great gift? Maybe the Lord was trying to redirect her attention back to him instead of so much on the child. We don't know. Or was the boy nurtured too much for the parents and too little for God? Was the boy becoming more a boy of the world, if you will, instead of a follower of the Almighty God? That would not be a good thing. Sometimes the Lord has to intervene in a really strong way to get our attention and to bring us back to what is good and best. Also, too, he wrote, thinking about the parents here, he wrote, did they need this or did the child need it? Why did the Lord allow it? Which one was it for, or was it for both of them? Sometimes we just don't know why certain things happen, but we can know that the Lord is in control. We know the Lord has a plan. Picking up in verse 22, it says, she called her husband and said, please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return. Why go to him today? He asked. It's not the new moon or the Sabbath. Those were the times when the religious assemblies were held and the people came to the prophets for instruction. So the husband knew it wasn't that kind of a time, so he's kind of wondering, why do you want to go to the man of God? Well, she said to him, it's all right. In other words, she said, hey, never mind, don't worry about it, everything is fine. It seems that, I mean, we could say that she wanted to hide the fact from her husband that their son had died, or maybe she just thought, if I tell him, he's going to want to go home, it's going to be a big conversation, it's going to take time, I don't want to take any time at all here, I want to get to the man of God. Whatever it was, we don't know, but she's not going to delay at all. So it says in 24, she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, lead on. Don't slow down for me unless I tell you. So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. From Shunem to Mount Carmel, about 16 miles. So not an easy trip going 16 miles, kind of in the middle of nowhere on a very rough road, we can only imagine. So think about it like this. As the Lord gave the boy life through Elisha, that was last week's miracle. So this woman believed that the Lord could restore the life of the boy through Elisha. Her faith had no limit. Sometimes I think we put a limit on our faith. Well, I believe the Lord could do this, but I don't think he could do this. We should not limit the Lord. All things are possible with him. Going back to Adersheim, he writes here, the Shunammite had lost a beloved child, but we are in danger of losing our immortal souls. So we need to keep things in perspective. As valuable as human physical life is, that is really very insignificant in comparison to eternal life. God might give us 100 years here on planet Earth, but he wants us to know there's an eternity coming that is forever and ever. So we want to make sure that we have our priorities in the right place. Going on to the second part, we see that his mother informs Elisha. When Elisha saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, look, there's the Shunammite. In other words, the woman from Shunem. Run to meet her and ask her, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? Everything is all right, she said. Now, why would she say that? Was everything all right? It wasn't. But again, it seems that just as she did not want to waste her time explaining the situation to her husband, neither does she want to waste her time explaining the situation to Gehazi. So she acts like everything is okay so she can quickly get by him and get to Elisha. And then in 27, when she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone. She is in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why." Do you know everything that could be known? Sometimes we take a guess with people. We can maybe see the expression on their face, or we hear about something going on, but oftentimes we don't know what's going on with people. Picking up in verse 28, it says, "Did I ask you for a son, my lord?" The woman said to Elisha. "Didn't I tell you, don't raise my hopes?" The woman thought having a son would be impossible, but what happened? The Lord granted it. Then the child died. The woman may have been thinking like this: it would have been better if I had no child at all than to have had a child and then for the child to have died. Let's go on to the third part. Elisha quickly sends Gehazi. Verse 29, Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tuck your cloak into your belt, take my staff in your hand, and run. If you meet anyone, do not greet him, and if anyone greets you, do not answer." In other words, Elisha was saying, do not delay even for a single moment. And then he said to him, "Lay my staff on the boy's face." But the child's mother said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." In other words, she was saying, "Elisha, I know you just sent your servant, but I want you to come." She was like begging and pleading, "I want you to come." So it says, so he got up and followed her. Maybe Elisha was thinking like this. It seems he had a special connection with this Shunammite woman. She did provide, the Lord did provide through her and through her husband many meals for him, a place to stay, and so on. So he had been greatly blessed through the woman. He had gotten to know the woman and her husband and even the boy over the years. So he just wanted to do whatever the Lord wanted him to do so that he might be a special blessing to this woman. In 31 it says, Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha. You can imagine that Gehazi has gone the 16 miles, and now he's coming back a little bit, and yet Elisha is on his way, but Elisha probably could not travel as fast, so he meets him on the way there, and he told him, the boy has not awakened. So maybe initially Elisha, maybe Gehazi, maybe they thought, oh, the child is very ill. But now they find out the child isn't simply ill, the child has died. Also, too, again, we have to speculate a little bit here, but the Lord could have worked through placing the staff on the child. There are other instances in the Bible where simply touching a holy thing, if you will, God did miraculous things. So God could have certainly restored the life of the child through the staff. God could have restored the life of the child simply by Elisha saying to the woman, don't worry, your son is alive. God could have done all kinds of things, but he didn't choose to work in that way in this situation. Part 4, nothing is impossible for the Lord. Verse 32, when Elisha reached the house, there was a boy lying on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, so just the dead boy and Elisha, and prayed to the Lord. Could Elisha restore the life of the child? By no means. He's a sinful human being just like us. He had no ability to do that. But did Elisha have a special connection to the Lord? By all means. So what does he do? He doesn't look to himself. He prays to the Lord. He's completely dependent on the Lord. So he wants the Lord to do whatever he chooses to be best. Going to Edersheim again, it says, in that upper room, there was wrestling and strong crying unto the Lord. So when a situation is really serious, God wants us to be just, just praying in a most serious manner. And then Edersheim said, he pleaded with God in these different ways. He pleaded the promise of God. He pleaded the honor of his name. He pleaded the faith of his servant Gehazi. He pleaded the need of the mother. He pleaded the grief of the household. All these different things were at stake, if you will, with this miracle child who now has died. And then it says in 34, then he got on the bed and lay upon the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. As he stretched himself out upon him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room. What is this ritual all about? What's going on here? Doesn't this seem kind of ridiculous? Would that actually work? Can you imagine a dead person in the room and God tells you to lay on the person, stretch yourself out on the person, walk around the room a little bit, maybe warm up your body a little bit more, and then lay on him again? Is that going to make him alive? It seems like utter foolishness to me, but we have to guess here again and say that after Elisha went to the Lord told Elisha exactly what to do. And Elisha might have thought, I don't know, Lord, that doesn't really make sense to me, but, here's the key thing, but, because you have said it, and because you are God, it doesn't matter if it makes sense to me or not, I'm going to do whatever you said. So Elisha did it. And then it goes on to say, after he walked around a little bit, then he got on the bed and stretched out upon him once more. And then the Bible says the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. So even though it didn't make any sense, the Lord chose to work through that thing in order to restore the life of the boy. In 36 it says, Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. And he did. When she came, he said, take your son. She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she took her son and went out. Boy, she must have completely overflowed with gratitude. Edersheim writes, what songs of praise and thanksgiving rose that night from the great house at Shunem. Our God is the hearer and answerer of prayer. Our Savior is the resurrection and the life. So for us to restore a dead person seems impossible, but yet God can do anything that's an easy thing for him. He doesn't oftentimes choose to do it, but he can at any time, and he did here. And then regarding spiritual life, in other words, the Lord worked through Elisha to bring physical life to the boy. But do you think maybe the Lord wants to work through us who know Jesus as Savior in order that others might know Jesus as Savior? One final comment from Edersheim, he wrote, thinking about this topic of God using us to touch others, he wrote, let it be on our part earnest wrestling prayer and then personal contact. Thinking about how Elisha prayed, then he had the personal contact with the boy, the living stretched upon the dead, till life is poured forth into the dead, and praises rise to him who is the light of the world and the life of the world. Something our choir sang about today. Does that seem impossible that someone who does not know the Lord and maybe even seems to be so opposed to the Lord, should we give up on that person? By no means. All things are possible with him. So God is saying to us, come to him in prayer. Have contact with the person, share my holy word with that person, and I can do, the Lord says, what seems impossible. The triune God is still the Lord God Almighty. He can do what seems impossible. Whenever it is his will, he can give life, he can restore life. The Lord can provide every need. The Lord can restore every broken relationship. What is the Lord's greatest desire for us? That we would have our sins forgiven through Jesus. What has Jesus already done? He has already lived in our place. He has already died for our sins. Now God is calling all people to be sorry for their sins, to believe in Jesus as their Savior, and God is the one who gives people the ability to do such things. God wants us to know that we should do good, but our goodness can never make us good enough. Our goodness can never earn heaven. So God is saying, don't trust in what you have done, what you can do. God is saying, look to me, I can do what is impossible. As we think about that poster board with all the sins written on it, I can't clean it up. In a sense, nobody can, but God can. He can do what is impossible. He can take our sins. He can wash us clean. He can make us ready for heaven. We think about the verse I shared with the children today. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God wants us to know that through Jesus, he has made the way for everyone. I want to conclude today by going to a note in the Lutheran Study Bible. And it concludes here with a prayer. But what the note is doing is giving a little summary of our text for today. It says, The Shunammite woman passionately seeks the Lord's help for her son by seeking out Elisha. When you seek the Lord in prayer, pour out your heart to him. Bow before him and make your petitions known. The Lord has made his heart known for you in the life, death, and resurrection of his only begotten Son, our Savior. We also have a prayer in here. I invite you to pray with me. Hear me, O Lord, when I cry to you. Answer me according to your mercy. And all God's people said, Amen. If I can help any of you here today to better understand the Bible, to better know for certain that in Christ your sins are forgiven, please let me know that. Let's talk. I want God to use me to be a blessing to you.